Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Tucked away in my backyard is a small pond. When I bought the house decades ago, adding the pond was one of the first improvements I made. It's shaded from the heat of the sun during most of the day and is home to a few goldfish. Most people put koi fish in their pond, but with the feral cats that come through my neighborhood, koi fish could become very expensive cat food. I've seen turtles in the pond and a few insects, which the fish will eat if given the chance. During the heat of the summer, I've seen bucket brigades of bees getting water back to the hive, and based on where the bees were flying to, that hive must have been hundreds of yards away. The pond has water lilies, and the flowers add stunning color to the backyard. The water lily pads are used by some of the birds to walk across the pond to get a drink from a preferred location. That pond is even visited by the squirrels that make themselves at home in my yard. I've shared that I live in El Paso, Texas, which is in the middle of the Chihuahua Desert, and sources of water are far and few between for the animals. It might surprise you that El Paso has wetland areas and even has a beaver in one of them. We are on the migratory flight paths of birds, so twice a year we have out-of-town feathered visitors. El Paso once had much more wetland areas, but those were developed in the neighborhoods. Some of those neighborhoods flood when, during the summer months, we tend to have our heavier rain. If you find yourself in a desert area, know where water flows during rain. Locally, we call those areas arroyos, and you do not want to be in an arroyo during rain. You also don't want to camp overnight in an arroyo, because when rain does come, it can come pretty hard in the desert. My house with its backyard pond is nowhere near a wetlands area. There are no nearby streams, rivers, ponds, or even irrigation canals. There is no natural source of water to replenish the pond with water lost to evaporation and from the wildlife helping itself to a drink. The pond takes maintenance. Sometimes it needs to be dredged of muck, and every once in a while I replace most of the water with tap water just to minimize the impact of algae in the water. About once a week during the summer, I need to top off the pond with water to make sure the pond is filled with water. When the pond is filled with water, it's easier for the wildlife in my yard to get a drink. And after I've filled the pond with water, I tend to notice more birds and squirrels visiting my yard. It's important for the wildlife in my yard to have that pond filled with water, and of even greater importance in our life is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as much as water is needed for life in the desert, the Holy Spirit is needed for eternal life. Jesus Christ died once for all, and through Jesus we all have forgiveness of sin, but not all people for whom Jesus died are led by the Holy Spirit as children of God. Being led by the Holy Spirit, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and told them to understand the will of God and redeem the time because the days are evil. He cautioned them against the excesses of society, such as drunkenness, and urged them to instead to have spiritual excesses, to be filled with the Spirit. He showed that in meditative thought and reflection, we should be focusing on what we find in the Bible, such as psalms or even music that is based on biblical themes, giving thanks to God for all things through the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Society today mostly knows to be entertained and to react and respond. Both of these take a lower level of thought process. There is nothing wrong with being entertained, nor is there nothing wrong with reacting and responding, but the thought process is less demanding and exacting. If you go to a theater to watch a new movie, you will pay money to watch the movie. People aren't paid money to go watch a movie at a theater unless they have a job that requires them to review movies. There is no money to be made in being entertained. Being entertained normally costs money. On the other side, there is money to be made in making movies. And if a person wants to make a lot of money from a movie, that movie has to be well developed and appeal to people so they go and see it. The producers who financially back movies know this, so they are selective in which movies they produce because, like any investor, they seek a return on their investment. As Christians, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not just react to whatever society throws our way. When Paul wrote the Ephesians not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that should tell us that throughout history, there are people who like to get drunk. We can also tell from how Paul structures his writing that Christians should not be getting drunk. In most parts of the world, public drunkenness is a crime, and too many people die in auto accidents where the driver at fault was intoxicated. Paul told the Ephesians not to get drunk, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Born to Elizabeth and Zacharias, John the Baptist was born into a family of the priesthood. Both of his parents lived righteously before God, doing what God expected of them. There was no hypocrisy towards God with them. When Zacharias was completing his priestly duties, an angel of God appeared to him, explaining that a son would be born to them, that they would name him John, and that John would turn the heart of Israel towards God, and that the hearts of the fathers would be turned to their children through his ministry. The angel also explained that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. On the first Pentecost after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And a prophecy of Joel was fulfilled on that day. The disciples were gathered together when the sound of a rushing, mighty wind was heard. The Bible describes the sound was heard, but does not indicate that there was an actual wind making the sound. I am familiar with the sounds I hear in and around my house, and when I hear a sound that I don't recognize or seems out of place, I tend to notice that pretty quickly. I remember once I was working on my desktop computer next to an open window earlier in the spring when I heard an animal sound I didn't recognize. Hearing the sound, I wondered if a bird of prey was in my backyard, but it turned out to be just a very hungry squirrel trying to get my attention. Another time, I was in the bathroom with running water when I heard an unusual sound. I thought I was hearing a very serious water flow problem, and it turned out to be just a loud jet engine sound from a video being played in the nearby room. For me, when I hear the sound of rushing, mighty wind, and we do get that type of wind in El Paso, especially during the spring months, I expect to see movement in the trees and bushes caused by the wind. For me, I would sit up and take notice if I heard that sound, but did not see the related movement. The sound heard that day was the sound of the Holy Spirit descending upon them and was signified by cloven tongues of fire over each of them. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. Being filled with the Holy Spirit got the disciple Stephen through his martyrdom. Stephen had been selected as deacon along with a few others to assist with the daily operations of the early church. By this time, several temple priests were of the faith, and that caused a power struggle in Jerusalem, a power struggle the high priest was unwilling to lose. Accusations were made against Stephen, and Stephen was given the opportunity to defend himself. To the council, Stephen had the face of an angel of God, not the face of a threatening outsider, and yet they still stoned Stephen to death for preaching truth. In the face of a sure death, because Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, he saw God our Father and Jesus Christ, who was standing at the right hand of God. And when Stephen shared what he saw, the crowd killed Stephen right then and there. Stephen died being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, verse 54. And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Paul would take the gospel to the Gentiles, and when his entourage went to Antioch, they had a mixed reception, with the Gentiles hearing the message with gladness, but the Jews scorning what was being taught. The Gentiles received the gospel so well that word of the gospel quickly spread among them, but the Jews used their connections to the makers and shakers of the city to expel Paul and his entourage from Antioch. Being expelled from Antioch didn't stop Paul or his group. They shook the dust off their feet and continued to Iconium and were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy, and with the Holy Ghost. Paul and his group found joy being filled with the Holy Spirit, even as they were persecuted for the faith in Antioch. We may not be persecuted in the same way today, but doing what is expected in the Bible is a surefire way to alienate oneself even from most self-professing Christians. Similarly, it is important to be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us by God, and if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it starts by asking God our Father for the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught to ask, and it shall be given to us, to seek, and we will find, to knock, and the door will be opened for us. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not result from doing nothing. Asking, seeking, and knocking all require action on our part. And being filled with the Holy Spirit requires action on our part. Complacency and being filled with the Holy Spirit are incompatible. Think about the concept of seeking. We seek that which we cannot easily find. If we know where something is, we don't need to seek it. When we know where something is, we simply go to where it is and retrieve it. When we knock on a door, unless the door is a clear window, we really do not know what is on the other side of the door. And for many, fear of the unknown prevents them from even knocking. The easiest of the actions, asking, only happens when we are aware we need something we don't have. That implies, while we should live our life filled with the Holy Spirit, we never presume we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We live our life acknowledging there is continued room for spiritual growth. Our physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Just like the physical temple was to serve God, our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, should serve God. No longer should we live our life serving sin. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we live our life serving God, and to serve God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we live our life acknowledging there is continued room for spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then make the members of Christ, and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We who have the Holy Spirit share the same Holy Spirit. There is not a different Holy Spirit for this person or that person. There is one Holy Spirit that is given to all who are faithful. We all become part of the same spiritual body through the Holy Spirit. And just like a human body has different parts serving different functions, the same is true of the spiritual body of believers. Each of us, having the same Holy Spirit, needs to ask, seek, and knock to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The Holy Spirit we are to be filled with is not a spirit of fear, weakness, hate, or uncertainty. The Holy Spirit we are to be filled with is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means we should not be living a life of fear. Being filled with the Holy Spirit should give us a certain confidence, knowing we are doing what God expects of us. When others hate, we love, and in a world where there are no absolutes, we live according to the Word of God, the Bible, knowing with God there are absolutes and expectations of us. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear can be used to manipulate and control people. Be careful of what is presented from a perspective of fear, because somebody else may be trying to use fear for purposes of manipulation and control. Whenever we are presented with something or someone to fear, we need to evaluate if that fear is legitimate or if that fear is intended to control and manipulate. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means even if we do not understand what we should pray for, the Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf. Being filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean we are without the everyday situations of life that can make life hard. We are people living among other people, and from time to time, living will be hard. Unlike many others who only have hope of this life, including when living is hard, we have hope of the kingdom of God to come. Those who only have hope in this life are trapped by the bounds of human existence. For them, this life is all there is. If the life they are living now is great, then for now they might have a great life according to the working of their mind, but they have no hope of something better to come. I don't know what the statistics are of people who only have hope in this life who also see this life as being great. I'm sure there are many who do, but I also think there would be many who only have hope in this life who also are disappointed with the life they have and with the world around them. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, how we view our present life will be much different than how others who do not have the Holy Spirit will view this present life. When these other people are suffering, they have no hope beyond this life. And because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we do have hope of the kingdom of God and eternal life, a hope that is grounded in certainty of faith. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means we do not quench the Holy Spirit. And for some, that concept can be confusing because we often speak of quenching our thirst as if we are satisfying our thirst. The confusing part comes from some people thinking we should not satisfy the Holy Spirit. Technically, we satisfy our thirst by extinguishing our thirst. Just like water can be used to extinguish certain types of fire, we use water to extinguish our thirst. When the Bible warns against quenching the Holy Spirit, we are being warned to not extinguish the Holy Spirit. Remember back from that day of Pentecost after Jesus died, how the Holy Spirit appeared as cloven tongues of fire above the disciples? We cannot allow the Holy Spirit to go out within us, because then there is no hope for us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit prevents the Holy Spirit from going out within us. It's like if you have a constant supply of electricity, your electrical appliances in good repair will run. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we ask, seek, and knock. We do not render evil for evil, and we do what is good. We celebrate life through the Holy Spirit. We remain in prayerful contact with God and are grateful for what we have been given. We do not despise what is in the Bible, and we prove all things according to what is in the Bible, avoiding even the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit is evident within us. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will live our life reflecting the Holy Spirit as evidenced by love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the works of the flesh will be abhorrent to us. And these include things like sexual sins, being filthy-minded, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, needless debate, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, and riotous parties. What we do with our life needs to be aligned with who we are. As children of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be doing those things which are spiritually minded. We cannot serve God and live a life that disrespects God. We cannot be saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and live a life that cheapens His sacrifice by living a life opposed to Jesus. We must live our life led by the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as if I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We are urged to walk after the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. That conflict between the two will spiritually cause us all types of problems, and we must choose to walk after the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In common terms, when we encounter a person who is one way in private and another way in public, we tend to think of that person as being two-faced. We cannot be a two-faced Christian. Think of people who have become known for the evil they have committed. It seems like when a serial killer is discovered, most of the neighbors seem shocked that their neighbor committed all of that evil because that neighbor didn't act like a serial killer around them. Much of what we see about serial killers set in crime dramas on television or in movies tends to be based on real life. It's hard for me to imagine how somebody could be incredibly cruel and evil to another person privately and yet be so likable in person. Serial killers are an extreme example to consider, but we cannot be double-minded in our life. We cannot walk after the works of the flesh while also walking after the Spirit, because those pathways lead to different destinations. All who are led by and filled with the Holy Spirit will from time to time sin, because all people are human, and all people sin, falling short of the glory of God. All who are led by and filled with the Holy Spirit will not be led by and filled with sin, because sin is reprehensible to the Holy Spirit and should be reprehensible to us. Conversely, those who sin and who do not find that sin reprehensible need to examine themselves to see if they are being led by the Holy Spirit or if they are being led by sin. We need to be led by and filled with the Holy Spirit. James tells us that if we live our life in doubt, we cannot please God. A person who doubts God can more easily have doubt between walking after the Spirit or walking after the flesh. If we have doubt about God, we can have doubt about faith. And if we have doubt about faith, which is the substance of things not seen, we are more likely to do those things which can be seen, such as the works of the flesh. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We cannot be double-minded, choosing between walking after the flesh or walking after the Holy Spirit. We must be led by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. Being a Christian is like having a job. People who have a job are expected to do those things on their job description, and they are expected to do them faithfully and well. For jobs like the job of teacher I had before retirement, there is not much distinction between one's private and public life. Anything that is done in one's private life that could bring questions to one's suitability to teach a class of children or teenagers is enough for that teacher to lose their job, especially those things that are done publicly. For Christians, we are on the clock, if you will, 24/7 in public and private, because there is no privacy for us from God and Jesus Christ. Whenever we do anything we shouldn't do, that action is probably being reported to God by the accuser of the brethren, and we can be thankful that we have a compassionate high priest in Jesus Christ. We are not to be double-minded, unable to choose between walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit. We are to be led by and filled with the Holy Spirit. We were called to be Christians, and we must walk worthy of that title, living our life aligned to what God expects of us and respecting the incredible sacrifice made for us by Jesus Christ. We are not to be the loud and proud Christians who use faith to dominate others, but we are to be Christians who seek peace with others, especially others of the household of faith. Being led by and filled with the Holy Spirit means we seek unity of the faith, not division of the faith, because all who are the household of faith serve the same God and have the same hope of salvation. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have been given the same Holy Spirit, and we are to be led and filled with that Holy Spirit. We all share in the same hope of salvation made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who through his death gave us the gift of eternal life and distributed different gifts throughout the household of faith for the edification of the body of Christ. Collectively, we do not serve a human corporate church, but the body of Christ, and we must work toward unity and the knowledge of the Son of God until we become more and more like Jesus. It is then that being led by and being filled with the Holy Spirit that we will not be tossed around like children who are led by this or that wind of doctrine, or as James wrote, as a double-minded person. When we are not convinced of who we are and where we are going, it is much easier for somebody else to lead us astray. And we cannot be led astray, because if we are led astray, we won't be led by the Holy Spirit. We won't be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will not become like Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As Christians, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. What was once appealing to us, the works of the flesh, will no longer be appealing as we are led by and filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of sin taking the preeminent place in life, the fruit of the Spirit will be part of who we are as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. As Christians, we must be led by and filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.